So, some of you may have known this. I didn't actually know this until the very end of the day of last Sunday. But last Sunday, we actually had a holiday. And I know, based on some of our sports fans and some people that really like to wear football jerseys on Sunday sometimes, they might think it's the Super Bowl was the holiday. But actually, last Sunday was Groundhog Day. Not sure if you were aware of that or not. And it's actually, when I did the research, it's Groundhog Day, and I had always said Groundhog's Day. Something silly, but for some reason I thought Groundhog Day sounded a little weird to me. But Groundhog Day is the holiday, and that's what we just had this last Sunday. And as I was looking into the holiday, I'm still not fully sure I understand how it all came to be, but there are celebrations all throughout the U.S. and throughout the world. I know in Canada and different places that they have celebrations, and they even have a specific groundhog named Phil. I believe it's in Philadelphia, or I believe is where they said it was at. But I could be wrong on that, because what was it? What he said, that one. So, yeah, so that is where they have a groundhog, and his name is Phil, is what they call him. But as the, you know, the lore goes is that, you know, on February 2nd of every year, there's a groundhog. And then when the groundhog will come out, he will look, and if he sees his shadow, that shadow represents a bad omen. So he goes back into his home, because that would mean that there's going to be about 6 more weeks of winter. But if he goes out, and if the clouds are covering and there seems to be no shadow, then that seems to be a good thing, which means that spring will be coming soon. And this year, if you heard, it was that apparently spring is coming sooner. This year. Unfortunately, I did look at the percentage of accuracy, and the groundhog's about 40% of the time correct. So take that with what you would like to trust a rodent as your meteorologist. But what's good about Groundhog Day is it's actually called a cross-quarter day, which basically means it is right in between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. And what this time allows us to do is to reflect on the past season and look towards the new season. And I thought that this would be appropriate for our church to hear today, because we also are going through a change, a transition from one season to another season. And if you were here last Sunday, we had a pretty emotional service where we're saying goodbye to our senior minister who had served here for the last 8+ years. And I wanted to be sensitive to our congregation today, and I know that there's some of you that might still be, you know, handling and moving through this, and some of you might be frustrated still, some of you guys might be sad, confused. There could be a variety of emotions and thoughts as we're going through this time of transition, and as we did say goodbye to our senior minister here. But I want us to call to look towards moving forward as we do for Groundhog Day. We look towards the spring. We look towards the new season. So to help us out, I want us to go to my key text today in Scripture to see what the Bible tells us about different seasons and different times in our lives. So it's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. I have it up there, but you're welcome to follow along as well. It says, "To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we see the reality that is our lives. Ecclesiastes 3, 1-8 tells us that there is a season or there is a time for everything under the sun. And what that means for us is that there is going to be change in our lives. Change is inevitable. And I know that sometimes that can make us anxious, or we can get nervous thinking about what the world or the future may have for us. But at the end of the day, change is inevitable. Likewise, time cannot be stopped. You know, you can stare at the clock all day long, you can clench your fist, but at the end of the day, time will continue to move forward, and time will pass you by. And what we see in this text is that there are appropriate seasons for our lives. There are going to be, sure, there are going to be some good, really great seasons in your life. But there are also going to be some difficult seasons in your life. There are going to be some seasons that are trying. You're going to go through some trials, some hard times. There are going to be times where you feel like you're suffering, or maybe you were going through everything alone. But the Bible clearly says that there is a time and a season for everything. So to help us to cope and to move forward, hopefully, in dealing with this transition in our church and to just deal with change in our lives and maybe the unexpected hard seasons, there are three things I want to call us as a people today to do. And if you are wanting to take notes, we do have the bulletin there with the outline. There's an interactive outline where you have three different blanks that you are welcome to fill in if you would like. But there's three things I want to call us to do today. And the first one that I want us to think about when we're dealing with change or transition or moving into a new season, especially if it's an unexpected season, is the first one is I want us to discern the time. So when I say discern the time, I mean it's important to recognize the season that you're in. You need to pay attention to what your circumstances are like and see, is this a good season? Is this a season of blessing? Or is this a season that might be more trying, more difficult, a harder season to go through? And as we're discerning this time, it's important to take inventory of your own personal life, your own spiritual well-being, and say, how is this affecting me in my life? What does this mean truly for me as a person? But then it's also important to say, how does this time affect my family, my loved ones, but also my church family? Because you have to remember, if you're going through a season, that will affect those you are living and doing life with. So it's important to take inventory. What does this mean? How is this affecting you, and how does this affect your loved ones and your family and your church? But what's important around this time, especially for the harder seasons, is there's a good verse in Job 2, which we discussed on Wednesday night, which talks about being able to accept not only the blessings that come with life, but also be willing to accept adversity that God may give us. So it's important that we need to recognize that we accept the time that God has placed us in. Now, that doesn't mean that what we're going through is necessarily going to be easy or good all the time. There are going to be some real bad things that happen in your life where you might have some sorrow or true times of mourning. I know for me, one of the hardest things, as some of you know, that I was previously engaged before I met my wife. And that engagement ended. And a wedding was canceled and hearts were broken. And for me, that was a very, very hard season in my life. But I was willing to accept that time that God had placed me in, because I recognized if you're present and if you discern this time and if you're truly present in the time that God has placed you in, He's there with you, and if you're listening, you have something you can learn during these seasons. So it's important to, whether it's a good season, whether it's a difficult season, recognize it, accept it, and then choose to act according to it. Romans 12:15 tells us that we are called to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So what that really means is it's important to respond according to the circumstances of your life. See, I think it would be very inappropriate if it was time to mourn and you chose not to mourn. If there's a time to love, choose love. If there's a time for war, then it's a time for war. If you want to dance, and if it's the time and it's appropriate, then dance, then laugh. But the important thing is that we are taking inventory of our seasons, and we respond based on what God is teaching us and calling us to do in that time. So the first one is discern the time. The second one is decide to grow. So no matter what season you find yourself in, no matter what time God has put you in, the same response should always be, I'm deciding to grow. So there's no season that's an excuse to not choose to grow. Because 2 Peter 3:18 tells us that we are called to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And then likewise, Hebrews 5:12 reminds us that we are called as Christians to spiritual maturity, which means that through our seasons of our life, we are called to grow. We are called to mature. So use these seasons to learn and to grow. And the reason I say that is because our personal nature, the proclivity that we have, is that we are actually a lot of times prone to regress. We're prone to go backwards a lot of the time, especially through the difficult seasons. Because it's easy whenever we're suffering, or if we're really stressed out or upset about something, it's really easy to regress, to go to a point where you just don't want to do anything, where you want to take out your emotions out on your loved ones. Maybe it's your wife or your husband or your children or your church. But you can easily allow yourself to regress whenever the hard times, when the storms of your life come. It's really easy to lash out on others. But likewise, it's easy for us to express doubt or unbelief in these trying times. See, when we choose to lash out, or when we choose to allow the storms or the seasons that are difficult in our lives to define us, that is us expressing that we lack faith and trust in God. So we want to refrain from regressing. We want to grow. We want to move forward in this new season together. But we also want to make sure that we're not being prone to be stagnant either. What that means is to be complacent, to be right where you're at and say, this is good, I'm right here. I'm not going to be moving any forward. It's worked right where I'm at and I'm staying here. You can't be stagnant. Because that also is going against the call to grow. But also there's a good quote by C.S. Lewis that discusses the concept of there being no neutral ground. Every single second, every single moment, every single thought, it's either captive and glorifying either God or the devil. You're either growing closer to Christ or you're moving further away from Him. So really, this concept of being stagnant or complacent spiritually, it doesn't exist. You're either growing with God or you're withering away. So, growth is a choice. You have to choose to grow. I talked about this in one of my past messages about repentance. You know, you can't accidentally repent. You also can't accidentally grow. You're not going to just find yourself 10 years from now and be like, wow, I really matured, and it was just an accident. It's not going to work like that. You have to be intentional with your growth. So, well, how do you do that? Well, think about a plant. If you want a plant to grow, there are certain things that are necessary. that are essential. The three that I thought of when I'm thinking of a plant, I'm not an expert with plants at all by any means, but I know that you're going to need some good soil, a good foundation, you're going to need water, and you're going to need sunlight. All three of those three things are going to be essential for a plant's growth and life. Similar for the Christian, as we're trying to continue to grow, you need to make sure that you have Scripture as your good, solid foundation. Throughout the hard times and through the hard seasons, if you're not relying on God's Word, then you're not going to have a firm foundation and you're going to wither away. Likewise with the water. You need to have people in your life that can pour into you. You need to have people that love you, encourage you, strengthen you, challenge you. Because if you don't, you're going to be dried up. You need someone to pour into your life, to quench that spiritual thirst. And that's why we have a fellowship of one another here. That's why we are called to love one another, to give good counsel and wise counsel to one another. The reason we do it is because we want to sustain one another. So you need to have the water. And then the last one is the sunlight, the power source, the thing that gives life, that allows us to see the beauty in the world, to see these beautiful plants, is because we have sunlight, because we have God. God is our source. God is our power. God is the thing that gives us life and energy. So how do you hinder your growth? You get rid of one or all of these three things. If you stop reading Scripture, your foundation is going to start to get shaky. If you don't have good people that can give you good loving counsel and encouragement and stability, you're going to dry up. And if you don't have that sunlight, you're going to be in darkness. And that's the reality. So we have to be willing to grow, to discern the time, and not deny the reality that God has placed us in. Because there's an appropriate moment for even the hardest seasons. So that leads me to my final point, which is we need to depend on God. Because, like I said, life can be hard. You know, change, it can and will make us anxious at times. And time is short. Billy Graham, you know, America's pastor, he lived to be 99 years old. That's pretty long for the average lifespan. But whenever he was asked, what is the greatest thing that has ever surprised him, basically, in his life? And he said, the one thing that just shocks me the most is how short time really is. And that's a guy that lived to be 99. But I think when we all think about it, it's true. I know that I'm coming up to be 10 years almost from leaving high school. 10 years ago, I remember so many things about high school. And I'm sure you guys do too as well. Is there are these things that pass us by and we forgot to be present in these moments and now they're gone. And there will be one day, there will be a time where we will all breathe our last breath. And there's a time for that. But the question is, in these times, and in our last moments, our last breath, did we depend on God? Because Jesus is the one thing that we can count on from not changing. Because Hebrews 13:8 tells us this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is unchanging. And Jesus' promises are for you and for your life. And they're offered to you. So when we think about the trials and tribulations, Jesus promises us that He will allow us and give us the strength to persevere. When we think about change and being anxious, he tells us, don't worry, be anxious for nothing. And when we think about time being short on this side of eternity, we know because God loves us that he has offered us eternal life because of what Jesus did on the cross. So we then can celebrate the gospel together. If you are a believer, if you are born again as a Christian, you can celebrate that Jesus took the sting of pain and sin and death. He took it on the cross for us. So now you can have life. You can have joy in even the greatest sufferings. And we can do it as we go through each season together because we have a God who loves us, cares for us. He sees you. He hears you. He is there every single step of the way. I read Psalm 23 at the beginning of the service today because we have a shepherd who is with us and walking through the valleys. He is taking us up these mountains. He is with us every step of the way. So if you're in a time of confusion, if you're in a time of mourning, it's okay. Jesus is with you. Jesus loves you. He is your shepherd. Trust in him. Depend on God because it's so worth it. Jesus loves you. He died for you. And if you are a Christian and you're going through some seasons that are difficult, discern the time. Decide to grow and depend on him. And if you aren't a Christian, if you haven't come to a salvific relationship with Christ, I want to call you to turn from your sin today, to trust in Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and be baptized if you haven't been. Because all of these things that are offered to you. You have the opportunity to have eternal life, eternal joy, peace, no more sorrow, no more pain. And we have a place that will be prepared for us in Christ's Father's house. Let us pray. Father, I'm so grateful for this opportunity to speak to your church today, Lord. And Lord, I pray that this message has touched the hearts and the minds of your people and that your Spirit will just overwhelm them, Lord, and call them to be passionate in moving forward, discerning the time that you have for their lives, deciding to grow in it, even through the hard times, and depending on you every step of the way, Lord. I just lift this up to you now and trust it in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.